establishment of the University of Georgia. People believed in the value of education. In 1784, the government set aside 20,000 acres of land for a state college. In 1785, the University of Georgia was chartered as a land-grant university, a school for which the federal government donated the land. It is the oldest school of its kind in the nation. For many years, the University of Georgia was frequently called Franklin College, which was the name of the first college within the university. Louisville. Georgia had several different capital cities. For much of its state's history, the capital rotated between Savannah and Augusta. Savannah was a coastal city. When most of Georgia's population then moved inland, it became difficult for the citizens to travel to Savannah for state's business. Augusta was too far east for many of the citizens. In 1786, the legislature appointed a commission to find a site for a permanent centrally located capital. Louisville is what was established, and it served as the capital for 10 years. One important event that did take place on the grounds of the capital on February 21st in 1796, all the records of the Yazoo land sales, of the Yazoo land sale fraud, were collected and burned in front of this capital. As more Indian lands opened up to settlers, Georgia's citizens continued to move west and wanted a capital that was more convenient for the western part of the state. In 1804, the legislature voted to build a new capital city. So after Louisville was Milledgeville. The capitals continued to move westward as the population moved westward within the state of Georgia. The headright system. Many Georgians in the late 1700s and early 1800s developed a huge appetite for land. The land east of the Oconee River, belonging to the Indians, was given to the settlers by means of the headright system. Under this system, each white male counted as a head of a family and had the right to receive up to 1,000 acres. This system was largely replaced by the land lottery system in the 1803. Land lotteries. Land lotteries were when the government opened land for settlement in lots of many different sizes. This so-called lottery of land was located west of the Oconee River. For a small fee, any white male 21 years of age or older could buy a chance to win land with the spin of a wheel. Heads of households with children, war veterans, and widows were given extra chances in the land lottery. The Yazoo land fraud. Georgians' western borders were at the Mississippi River in 1795, and also one of the Mississippi River's branches called the Yazoo River. In other words, originally the state of Georgia covered all the land that is now Mississippi and Alabama. However, four land companies approached the governor and members of the Georgia General Assembly and bribed them to pass a bill that would allow the land companies to buy the western lands and profit from it. The land companies bought 50 million acres for $500,000, which came out to about 1.5 cents per acre. When the public learned of this, there were protests all over the state, and citizens called for the resignations of those legislators. So those legislators were voted out of office. The new people in the legislature repealed that law, and all the records of these land sales were burned in public. Still, there were arguments, and people went to court. Georgia lost rather than gained from the Yazoo land scheme. The state lost a large part of its land and a lot of money because of the failed plan. Georgia ceded or gave up its land west of the Chattahoochee River, making the river Georgia's western boundary. Cotton gin. In 1793, Eli Whitney visited the home of Mrs. Catherine Green Miller. She had a guest who wanted to talk to him about developing a model for a cotton machine that would separate cotton fibers from its seeds. Before long, Whitney built a factory near Augusta and had a working cotton gin. Before its invention, a worker might be able to separate 6 or 7 pounds of cotton from its seed by day. But after the cotton gin, workers were able to separate about 50 pounds a day. The effect of this was that many farmers decided to grow cotton because it was the most profitable crop, and they ended up buying more slaves to grow more cotton. So this extended slavery. Railroads. They were also a major economic development during the 1800s. Before they were built, people traveled on horses, boats, or stagecoaches, and freight was sent to market by riverboats, ferries, or wagon trains. One point on the southeastern bank of the Chattahoochee River, where the railroads all came together, was called Terminus, which literally means the end of the railroad line. Today, that area is known as Atlanta. The railroads dramatically shortened travel time for both passengers and freight, reducing trips that had previously taken days to just hours. So it definitely helped the economy.